Hey, Matt. What do carnies, Canadians, and crazy cannibals have in common?
They all love Insane Clown Posse.
One of these three actually is correct, yes, but this isn't a joke. This is what we're going to talk about today, and I'm not kidding around here, you hosers. Sorry. Shove off, you fucking hosers.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive! I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
God of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode. And I think this is going to be pretty great, because a lot of times first off, Zach, how are you doing, man?
You know how last week I got pretty lit?
Uh-huh.
That's because I thought it was my turn to do this one, so guess what?
Getting lit again.
I'm leaving the fucking serial killers to you motherfuckers from now on.
Yes.
I'll do the alien and weird shit. Okay, this shit's fucking gross. I can't deal with this.
Libby, I'm not Dexter, how are you?
Okay.
Excited to cover all of the serial killers.
it's pretty funny. Well, I did take another turn because I missed the one that I was gonna do, and I did a short one, so I was just like, nope, I'm doing another one. So I did another one. And Zach's like, you guys gotta stop doing this gross shit all the time, and then he's gonna go into some gross shit.
Well, this was a listener request from like last year, like early last year, like last spring. So this is like, so sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry that it's been a year, but if you're still listening, here you go. We're going to talk about this today.
And this plus we try to plan stuff out as
we do.
Hey, yeah. I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to talk about that. So if you send one in, we will get to it, but it'll be as it goes, every once in a while something falls through the cracks, and we'll be like, well, I guess I'll do this one because I'm not ready on that one yet.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So don't mind me. I'm just going to sit here and get drunk for a minute.
Okay. Nice shirt, by the way. I see those guys. Pirates of the Promised Land had a new thing that they popped up on YouTube, and I liked watching that. I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Good shit. Really good shit. Let's just get into this. Let's try to get this fucking over with. I just want to get this over
right
with.
In. Just dive in.
If I drink a lot, I'm going to stop and pee. Nobody needs that. And I'm going to try not to slur my words like I did last week. If you did listen last week, that's the reason I was drunk. I started out like about half lit, and by the end of it, I'm like, hello, diva. And I thought about editing all that shit. I was like, nah, we got to keep it real, right? So
it was funny. No one took my episode seriously, but it shouldn't have been taken seriously anyway. I just nerded out on it for some reason.
Well, I called Matt and I apologized after I listened, and I was like,
oh,
I'm sorry about that. But
I'm driving back from fucking Ohio or something. Zach calls, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just driving. Sorry about that episode. I was like, I haven't listened to it yet. He goes, yeah, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I did listen to it, and I'm like, what are you sorry about? That's funny as shit.
Yeah, that episode was pretty funny.
I was like, I don't care.
I laughed pretty hard.
Yes, you certainly did.
I won't.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
once in this episode, too. I promise you. Okay. So anyway, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
That's the total Zach answer. You're not supposed to say that shit. That's my line.
I'm doing all right. Been doing some work at my sister's place at her spa. And then as soon as we're done with this, I will be heading back up there to do some more work.
Ooh. Spa. So he's in a big rush is what he's saying. All right.
No. All right.
Not in a rush. No. I don't miss it.
All right. So do you guys know anything about this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm surprised one of you didn't bring this up before. This story is fucking gross. Don't eat food. while listening to this episode. I don't recommend it. And if you didn't like Albert Fish, this is like right up that alley. It's not quite as gross as that.
It's rough. It's rough. It's not
that bad. This episode will include cannibalism, murder, decapitation.
All the good things.
All the good things, yeah. So anyway, you ready?
Yeah.
So somewhere in 2000s, early 2000s, on a Greyhound bus bound from Manitoba, I killed a carny. I turned him into sushi. He tastes like chicken. Yeah, he was finger licking. The cops let me go, though. I said, Domo Arigato.
And that's all we have time for today, guys. You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was beautiful.
Anyway, so this is the story of Tim McLean and Vincent Lee. Little background on Tim. Timothy Richard McLean Jr. was born October 3rd, 1985 in Winnipeg, Manitoba. That's in Canada, in case you didn't know. Up there in the Great White North there.
Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah. So he grew up, his parents split up early, I believe. So he spent some time in Winnipeg and then some time in Eli, Manitoba. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Sorry about that.
Well, the three people that have lived there won't ever email in or anything.
So. Right. Yeah. Everything that I read said he was known as like a kind-hearted person, really energetic, like he could spend three minutes with somebody and then they became instant friends. I guess he got really bored. He read all the books in his school library, like in elementary school. He dropped out of school cause he got bored.
I'm not learning enough quick enough.
I guess he dropped out. I'm not sure if he just like took a GED and passed or what, but, by the age of 22, he was working as a fucking carny, like a barker, like step right up kind of shit. So this is the level of person we are dealing with at this point in time.
It's not so far off to a bad start. But
yeah. So he's a carny, but he's decent money for, you know, early 2000s.
Nowhere he's blowing near through Anton's
it. He's blowing money, through but... it as quick as he's getting it because he's fucking 22 and he's partying all the time.
Makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a lot of like video blogging. He told his dad someday he wanted to be famous, and
and he was.
He ended up being famous.
Yeah.
And then we've got this other gentleman named Vincent Lee, who was born in China, and ding dong, lang dong. I think that's how you pronounce that.
Is that how it goes?
I'm not sure. I'm just making this shit up.
Nailed it.
He's a lot older. He was born on April 30th, 1968. Let's see here. He had some, I don't know. He had a lot of issues growing up. He was the second of three children. His father was a custodian. His mother was a math teacher. He was born a month premature, and it was noted by psychiatrists in his youth that he was pretty sickly through most of his childhood, and he exhibited developmental delays. So he's a little slow, like especially like learning to walk, talk. He was like 5 years old before he was like walking and talking.
Wow.
Yeah. He didn't start elementary school till 9. But, and I think I read somewhere that he wet the bed till he was like, you know, in high school, like 18, 19. Yeah. So, flag. Lots of flags. Mean,
but you should watch.
Yeah.
Did he play with fire and kill animals as well?
No, that was not listed. So at 19, he started studying at the Wuhan Institute of Technology where he graduated with a bachelor's degree in computing in 1992. And from 1994 to 98, he worked in Beijing as a computer software engineer, which is, you know, it's a fucking decent job.
Yeah.
You're probably bringing it in pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So he then married his wife, Anna, who he met while working at a factory in Beijing in June of 95.
And man, those factory broads, I'll tell you what.
Man, they're hotter than shit, man. Let me tell you something. Woo!
They are the roughest talking people on the planet. If you think we cuss and say outlandish shit, talk to a factory lady. My God, when I was 18 and started working at a factory, I was blushing. I was like, I can't believe women talk this way.
So according to his wife's family, he displayed no signs of mental illness. But his father always said that he had been stubborn, restless, and had a tendency for like always moving around. Like he couldn't sit still.
Fidgety.
In 2001, he and his wife decided to immigrate to Canada as part of the federal skilled worker program. And remained Chinese nationals until they became citizens in 2006. They just wanted a fresh start. They wanted something new. They wanted to get the fuck out of China, I think is what they wanted to do.
It's a completely different world.
Yeah, you betcha. Yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to score points again. Starting in the fall of 2004, now, you know, it takes a while to get citizenship. They came in 2001. In the fall of 2004, he worked.
They're pretty strict. I think Canada's real strict.
Super, super strict. Yeah. He looked for jobs in his field and he could not get hired. So he ended up doing all these really menial jobs. He worked for a church for 6 months to help support his wife. The pastor that employed him said he seemed happy to have a job. He was committed to doing it, did it well, despite having a language barrier. I think he mentioned that he got frustrated a lot because he couldn't communicate or understand. But he seemed to respond well to, the staff, and he didn't show any signs of anger issues, any trouble before he quit in 2005. And that's when he started working another, you know, just menial job. I think it was like forklift operator or something like that. And his wife was waitressing, you know, stupid shit like that. At this time, I think around this time he converted to Christianity. He was baptized. And afterwards he said he heard the voice of God talking to him.
That flag is a gigantic one right there.
That's a big check mark right there, buddy. Oh, you betcha.
Talk to God all you want. If he talks back, whoa.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
So Lee said that this voice called him the third story of the Bible and the second coming of Jesus.
So he's the second coming of Jesus then?
Yeah, he's destined to save people from this alien invasion that's going to happen, so...
Oh, just all makes sense to me.
Yeah, it would. This voice would regularly tell him to travel through the country on foot or by bus, and he would often just fucking disappear for days on end, without telling his wife.
Jesus rides a greyhound. Sounds like a song Ministry would have done.
Jesus built my greyhound.
Oh, yeah, he spilled my heart. Mm-hmm. Dang, dang, it, dang, 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 dang.
Yeah. due to his paranoia and his constant belief that he was under alien threat, he ends up buying this giant fucking, like, hunting knife. If you ever listen to any of the interviews done by the people that watch this, they call it the Rambo knife. So it was a big one.
I had a Rambo knife when I was a kid. It had the compass at the end. You'd unscrew it and had all this stuff in there where you could fish. And it's called a survival knife.
Well, up there in the Great White Canada there, they just call it fucking Rambo knife, man. I mean,
wouldn't hold an edge for nothing, but yeah.
Anyway, that's not a knife. That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife.
Fuck, we're old. We just referenced Crocodile Dundee. What the fuck are we doing? Mm-hmm.
I realized it halfway through saying it, then I just stopped.
Because you got to fucking roll with it now, man.
It's not like they can't tell.
So through these little delusions he had that, you know, alien invasion, God's talking to him and stuff, it would later help to explain his condition, which would be undiagnosed for a long time. But he was schizophrenic.
I was going to say batshit. I didn't know what the
Schizophrenic batshit. Same general vicinity.
That's right.
His wife recalled that he would often go several days without sleeping or eating. And he would spend his days at home crying and telling her about his visions from God.
Rubber room, my man. No. What do you know?
Yeah.
No,
they tried to get him to go to a doctor for his, you know, his
mental problems, the
voices he kept hearing.
Uh-huh. But God told him he didn't need that, I'm assuming.
No, he just fucking hated hospitals, so he wouldn't go. He's like, fuck that. I'm not going to the fucking hospital. Those fuckers will kill me.
That's going to be the problem. Those doctors.
So, yeah. By the spring of 2005, he had separated from his wife.
You mean she had separated from him, I would hope.
Yeah. And apparently he went and like approached some people from the church initially that he'd met and, you know, was like trying to find some land to buy, even though he didn't have any fucking money. Because he's basically going to set up a compound.
Sound familiar to anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Fucking every. But he didn't have anybody following him yet.
Yeah.
He's jumping the gun there a little.
Right.
I need this compound for what?
Thousands. He skipped a few steps there.
The thousands of people that are following me. Dude, nobody's following you. They're just driving down the road too.
Yeah. So he remains doing just all these remedial jobs, like maintenance worker at Walmart. He eventually saved enough money to move back to Winnipeg, where he worked as a gas station attendant part-time at a Tim Hortons. Oh, that Tim Hortons up there in the Great White North there. At this time is when he states that he suffered his first full-blown mental breakdown.
Oh, his first one? Not earlier.
The first one. This is the first one. Okay, we're talking full-blown, yeah. Yeah, not,
yeah, not off the all that stuff before seems natural, normal, and yeah.
Yeah. So in September of 2005, the voices in his head said he needed to just leave everything behind, head to Toronto, because it was going to be easier for him to find work there. Mm. And then after he failed to find a job, the voice told him to go back to Winnipeg on foot
and leave
his shit on the side of the road, his luggage, all his belongings. So he was like, okay. All right, that sounds good to me.
Sounds logical. Completely.
Back in Canada.
Yeah. He was.
Those
he
people
was
are found, so nice. I bet he got a ride.
A little too nice. You're going to get really pissed off here in a little bit.
No,
that's the only reason I decided to do this episode. So he's found by the Ontario police wandering around on the highway, completely malnourished, dehydrated, stating that he was following the sun at the command of God.
S-U-N or S-O-N?
He's following the S-U-N. Both. Okay. By the command of the S-O-N.
That's a...
Yeah.
That's a good one.
He's examined at the local hospital there and diagnosed with schizophrenia by the staff. He refuses medication.
Naturally.
And he is God's never documented for mental illness because of this.
Because he didn't take the medication? They were just like, okay.
Yeah.
Off you go then.
All right, then. Well, you have a nice day there, sir. You have a great one. All right. Be safe out there. Watch those watch out with that giant survival knife the other. Don't be sure not to poke yourself in the leg there with it, you know. Wouldn't want you to cut your wanger off with that.
I mean, Rock Terrio killed 2 children and beat the fuck out of a lot of people and done 2 years. So Canada's pretty lenient.
Yeah. We're gonna get there. Yeah.
Okay. I have
0194146.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the prison system's completely fucked up. Completely fucked up. Let's just leave it there. We can address that at some other time. We got more time
for another episode.
We're trying to keep this shit like an hour. So back and forth over the next couple of years, he goes back and forth with his wife, and finally. He tells his wife, you know, it's like, I'm flying back to China. Let's get a divorce. I can't make you happy. Let's just call it quits. And she,
reasonable.
Yeah. And they stayed really civil. I think he actually ended up living with her more than once. And she would take care of him when he got bad. So
that's a hell of a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Damn. Yeah.
I think she really loved him. She had, you know, in the beginning, since he wouldn't go to the doctor, she had tried to buy him sleeping pills because she knew he wasn't asleep. He was like, well, fuck, just take these.
Anything. A lot of them. Take a lot of them. Watch this bottle of vodka.
Yeah. Vodka. Yeah.
Wait, you have life insurance, right?
If not, sign this piece of paper for me, would you?
Sign this and go to sleepy.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, he lived with her off and on when he wasn't able to work. I think in 2007, I'm sorry, let me think about it. Yeah, in 2007, she moved in with him. Their relationship improved in the following months. And then from that point on, he worked as a janitor, a mechanic, a cashier at Walmart, worked at McDonald's, newspaper delivery. All of his, you know, employers described him as being reliable, hardworking, not showing any signs of trouble. I guess at one point he did have some sort of skirmish at Walmart, and he was let go from Walmart. Let me tell you something. It's hard to get fired from Walmart.
Yeah. How can you not have it's a really hard to get fired Walmart. From Walmart.
Yeah. Anyway, and by June of 2008, his mental health deteriorated quickly. And by July 24th, he left his home, told his wife, don't look for me. I wish you were happy. He left her a note and just left.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Seems nice. I wish you were happy.
She said she wasn't worried about this because this was pretty fucking normal behavior for this crazy motherfucker. So she was like, whatever, he's asking me back. He wants that pussy. I know he does. He'll be back. He'll be going, me so horny. And I'll be going, me love you long time. I'm sorry, I couldn't let it go.
He'll be back.
Leave that on the table.
He knows where his bread's buttered.
Yeah,
he'll be back. We got this. Okay.
Okay, we're getting to the really fucking gross shit. You ready?
Uh huh.
Okay. Ready. It only took 30 minutes to get here, but you got to have the backstory on this motherfucker because he's
a wacko.
Anyway,
that is
on July 28th in Edmonton. Lee boarded a Greyhound bus bound for Winnipeg.
Oilers.
Because apparently. The voice in his head told him, you need to go to Winnipeg, eh? Because I figure we could probably get a pretty good job up there, eh? And I hear they got some wicked, wicked, wicked fucking tacos up there. And everybody loves fucking tacos.
Do they? So, are they known for...
I'm making this shit up. That part I made up for sure. I was thinking about something wicked. And I was like, what's wicked? Fucking tacos are
all
tacos.
Of a sudden, we've got a trip planned to go to Winnipeg for some tacos.
I know
see you guys there.
I know Canada's strip clubs are world renowned, but
oh yeah, so's their ale, eh? Their ale's pretty good, eh?
Good ale.
Donuts.
Strip clubs, yeah. And tacos.
Yeah. Gotta go to fucking Tom Hortons though and get those fucking eclairs, eh?
We're just winning all around.
Yeah. Tim Hortons is actually really good.
So
in case you haven't been there.
So Lee is boarded on this bus bound for Winnipeg.
Back to the Jets.
It's a long fucking bus ride, by the way. But the next day,
sure. It's boring.
So he leaves at like noon. He leaves at noon on the 28th. But by 6 o'clock the next day, he gets off the bus in Erickson, Manitoba, and stays the night on a bench, and stays there.
Just go sleep on a bench in Canada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's next to a grocery store, though. Huh?
How close are we to Letterkenny?
I have no fucking clue, eh?
I don't think we're that close. I think they're closer like the middle. To like, yeah, they're closer to the.
This would be like north. Kansas.
East.
I mean, yeah. Letterkenny isn't actually a real town, but the population is like 300 people or some shit like that. Not like the TV show that is fucking fantastic.
Oh, shit.
Hulu, get Hulu. It's worth it. That's worth the price of admission right there. Just watch Letterkenny. Shorzy.
I want to go into it, but I don't want to go into it.
Are you ready? So he wakes up from this sleep on his bench and he boards another Greyhound bus.
I thought we was going to talk
somewhere
about
somewhere in Manitoba. while he's sitting there in Erickson, he's seen at like 3 a.m. sitting upright, his eyes wide open.
Of course they were.
That's the 29th, I'm assuming. And then the morning of the 30th, he's still on the bench. So he got there on the 29th, still there on the 30th.
God hasn't told him to move yet.
I guess not. So he sets up a sign, lays his laptop computer that's brand new next to it that says $600 or best offer. So this little 15-year-old kid comes up to him, offers him $60, and then he takes it. He's like, yeah, okay, it's yours.
God, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I would have taken that for a second. That'd been great.
Could have been the right place. Must have been the wrong time.
Yeah. This laptop was later seized by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
They never evidence. Came behind, by the way.
But it didn't have anything on it. It's just like resumes, pictures, shit like that. Anyway.
Lots of Google searches for what does God want?
Yeah. What if God was one of us, I think, is what it was.
Is that what we're doing?
Oh, shit.
Talk about riding on a bus.
Oh, shit.
Was that song about this?
I don't know. But what if it was?
Alrighty. Yeah, buddy.
Oh shit!
So we'll leave Vincent Lee right there on sitting waiting on a bus, right
Lee
there
with a wrister.
I'm trying, man. Got to make up for last week. Got to go.
Fucking knock this Gatorade bottle out of the net.
All right. So on the 30th of July, Tim McLean, which we mentioned earlier, you know, the carny, he's returning home from Winnipeg. After working at a fair in Edmonton, his parents and his friends had all offered, by the way, to pay for a plane ticket for him to just fly.
Why wouldn't you do that?
And he's like, oh, no, that's too expensive. No, I can't do that. I love to travel. I love to see, you know, I love to meet people. So I'll just take this 24 fucking hour bus ride.
Nope.
So,
gross.
That's what decided his fate, right there.
Mm-hmm. He was trying to take the long way. Nice fucking Canadian.
Yeah. Fucking Sunday driving motherfuckers. Anyway, So, get all that?
Yeah.
Okay. These are all jokes, folks, by the way. So he departs Edmonton on board bus number 1170 to Winnipeg and is going through Saskatchewan, eh? And he sits down at the rear, one row ahead of the toilet, eh? In case he's got to go. Because if you got to go,
it's not where I'd want to be. Okay.
So around 7 o'clock that night, the bus stops and picks up this new passenger, which happens to be Vincent Lee in Erickson, Manitoba. This tall man in his 40s with a shaved head, sunglasses, who originally sits down at the front of the bus, is very quiet, probably looking a lot like Neo or one of those guys. I don't know. Just sitting there. It's 7 o'clock at night and you got fucking sunglasses on. I guess it's July, so it's acceptable, but
could be one of the Blues Brothers.
Or Corey
He's
Hart.
Asian. I don't know.
It's not that cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not nearly drunk enough. Next for this next part.
You need us to sing the whole song for you to go on.
No, I don't. So the bus stops next in Brandon, where they get off, and Lee gets off, and he's outside, and he smokes a cigarette with a couple of people there on the bus, and then they're just having a casual conversation. He seems completely fine, completely normal. And then after this stop, he gets back on the bus, and proceeds to move all the way to the back and sits directly next to Tim, even though the aisle across from Tim is completely empty. He could have had a whole fucking row to himself.
I'm going to have a problem with that if you do that to me. I'm going to be like, you better move your ass over there. What are you even doing?
It's like the every other stall rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's packed.
I don't want to smell your Duke, and I don't want you to smell mine either. Butch.
I mean, I don't enjoy pissing in the trough at Wrigley Field, but that's what you have to do. But we don't have to do that on this bus. So you can move your ass over there.
So, where are we at? So, he kind of just like acknowledges the fact that Lee's sitting next to him. Tim does. He's like, hey, what's up there, eh? How you doing, eh?
I would have acknowledged it real quick and then kind of
and then he just puts his headphones back in and he's leaning against the window and he's just like goes back to sleep. You know, he's
with a dude just creeping next to him.
Creeping.
Remember, they're in Canada, eh?
It's Canada.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I think they're playing like The Mask of Zorro on the
Antonio
bus.
Antonio Banderas?
Yeah, yeah.
Aha.
Yeah. And that's the only light you're going to have on the bus is from these screens. Everything else is completely dark. So
also, who was the lady in that? Was that?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay. Oh, yep.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, Lee produces his
movie knowledge, and I'm fucking feeling pretty bad right now. So well done.
I love Catherine Zeta-Jones. So
she's hot.
She's hot.
Is she in The Haunting?
I wouldn't kick her out of bed unless she wanted to do it on the floor.
Here we go.
All right, you ready to get gross?
Ready.
Yeah.
Okay, so according to witnesses, Tim's just sitting there sleeping. He's got his headphones on. And without any provocation, warning, anything, Vincent Lee just pulls out his fucking Rambo knife and begins to stab him repeatedly in the neck and the chest. Mm-hmm. And everybody else around him, like the person that's sitting directly in front of him, kind of turns around and is like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah. You think?
And then he goes, hey, we got a fucking hoser back here. We need to stop the bus, eh?
This fella's bleeding there, isn't he?
Yeah. And apparently the whole time that this is going on, Vincent Lee's facial expression is just like nothing's going on with him. He's just like fucking chopping carrots. I'm just like, nothing.
No emotion whatsoever. The saddest part is when the dude was listening in his headphones to the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Which is a sad way to go, let's be honest.
Oh, fuck. We gotta lighten it up somehow, I guess.
Lightfoot. Old Gordy.
Was that, or was like closing time? So at this point, everyone is fucking losing their shit and like scrambling to get off the bus. They tell the driver to pull over. The driver immediately pulls over, and
rightfully so.
Everyone exits the bus. Meanwhile, they can hear stabs, and Tim manages to like kind of push off Lee, and Lee just kind of pushes him into the middle of the aisle and continues to stab him.
We got a Winnipeg knife massacre going on.
It gets better. Bus. It gets a lot better. So everybody flees the vehicle, and then the bus driver and two other guys try to like make an attempt to rescue Tim, but they're chased off by Lee, who slashed at them from, you know, just like slashing at him. There's a truck driver that stops. He pulls out this metal bar and he's like, I'm going to get this son of a bitch. He goes in there and realizes that Tim's probably already dead.
Most likely.
And he got a crazy person. So they back off the bus and they lock the door so he can't get off. But while they're locking the door, Vincent Lee manages to like get the knife out in between and like slash at him while they're trying to get it. So,
well, that's some horror movie shit right there, ain't it?
Oh, it gets better, man. It gets a lot better.
Desperate attempt.
At this point, Lee manages to like.
Hang on. Go ahead. Hang on.
Okay.
You're the dude inside the bus getting stabbed.
No, you're the fucking dead dude on the bus at this point.
You're screaming for help. You just want somebody to help you. And everybody's like, fuck out of here. Lock it. Keep that.
Something between a wolf, something like, between a dog howling in pain and a child crying is what it sounded like, is what people said it sounded like. Yeah.
Thank you for just leaving me in here.
He's dead already. I mean, if at this point he's been stabbed 30 times, he's going to fucking bleed to death. They're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
They didn't know that. It's one dude with a knife. There's a bus full of
people. One dude with a knife that just stabbed some dude like fucking 80 times.
Yeah, are you allowed to carry knives in Canada?
Apparently at this point you are, because he...
Well, he certainly did. Sure, I meant legally. I meant legally. It's like, who doesn't have a pocket knife on them at all times?
Are you allowed to carry a gun in Chicago? Legally? No. Do you think people carry guns in Chicago? Fuck yeah, they do.
I might not be legally allowed to, but if I'm just in Chicago, I'm gonna have a fucking gun.
You got any more questions you want me to answer real quick for you?
Nope. All right. Moving along.
But he must have been legally allowed to, because the Royal Mounted Canadian
Police
gave it back to him.
What?
You don't remember that from the beginning of the story?
I forgot about the horse.
He bought one, but it's not specified whether he had it at that point or not.
Got my Rambo now.
I mean, I'm going to use it for fishing, and if I need to cut the tree down or something, you know?
Yeah, so, hop on Greyhound.
On a Greyhound bus.
Was it a Greyhound bus?
It was a Greyhound bus.
I think it was, yeah. All right.
Somewhere in Manitoba. Anyway, so at this point, he managed to start sawing away and chopping at Tim's head and manages to decapitate him.
As one does when they're a fucking Looney Tune.
And
Rambo knife.
At this point, he holds the head up by the hair and holds it for everyone to see. And he's walking around the bus and so everyone can see. Because, you know, Greyhound buses, they have those giant fucking windows. Mm-hmm. Everyone's outside vomiting, crying, passing the fuck out, freaked the fuck out. And he's just sitting there like holding it like it's Medusa's head and he's going to turn him all to stone. It's fucked up.
Clash of the Titans. So
and he's screaming. Yeah, yeah, of course. So then he starts to sever other parts of the body off. And yeah, you know about this part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is gross. I mean, getting your head cut off is kind of fucked up. It's gross.
I mean, by this point, you don't care what else happens. I mean, really, but.
Yeah. you're dead. You're dead. But. So. He. Cuts his chest open, pulls his heart out, rips his intestines out. He's cutting off his ears and his nose. He cuts out his tongue. He then proceeds to eat part of his heart, presumably because they found part of his heart. They never found all of his heart.
Okay, so are these Canadian mounted police really on horses? Does it take that long to get there?
He said time to dissect this body. So it did take them like 30 minutes to get there, I believe. But
God, he works fast.
But we'll get to that part. Okay. He also consumes Timmy's eyeballs. He eats the eyeballs. And later on, he would say that the reason he did this is because the voice inside his head said, if you do not kill it and tear it apart, it will come back to life. So he thinks he's a fucking hero, according to him, by doing this.
So he was showing that he helped the head, everybody.
Like, look, I'm the hero. Yeah, that's,
yeah,
that's
I helped you. Thing. I helped you. Look how I saved you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
This is nut bar to a new level. I mean, seriously.
Oh, it gets better, man. So okay. It's 8:30. By the time the Royal Canadian Mounted Police show up there, eh? Or no, by the time that's when they received the report of the stabbing. They arrived to find him on the bus. They prevent him from escaping.
And
basically, they just sit there and fucking let him do whatever the fuck he wants.
So he's just going to let him mangle the body more.
Well, he's already dead, they figure. And
it's still a fucking human
guy.
They have no fucking really good explanation for why they just let him sit there and defile the body at this point.
What is the conversation going on outside the bus? All right, yeah. So yeah, there's no way it's gonna be an open casket. So let's just fucking let it go.
They refer to him, and if you can find conversations like about the radio chatter, you can find the radio chatter that they have. They refer to him as Badger when they're talking about him. Like Badger now has his heart in his hand, and he is walking around.
Why did they give him a cool nickname?
I don't know. Badger's not a cool nickname in my
book. Badgers are badass creatures. Well, you should have gave him like Pussyface has his fucking heart in his hand now.
Well, Pussyface might be hard to spell in Royal Canadian Mounted Police lingo. I don't know. Yeah. So
they never leave a man behind.
At some point, I think Lee tried to drive the bus off, but there was like an emergency shutoff that the driver had, and he enabled it, so he couldn't drive the bus off.
Dumb
so fuck. He's stuck on the bus.
It's probably the air brakes.
That just reminded me of Earn a Safe Christmas. Air brakes. So 9 o'clock, they're in a standoff with Mr. Lee there.
So you've got all of the police outside, and he's got a fucking
Oh, they got a fucking SWAT team there. They have a fucking special negotiators there.
What? Their the whole SWAT teams are not like American SWAT teams because they get a hard on for shit like that. They're going in. It's like, your ass is done. They'd be dropping down through that fucking. It's like whatever. The top of the bus got the windows in, and then shut
the, like the skyline in the bus. Is that you're going for?
Drop
coming
right
from
in.
Helicopter.
Dead motherfucker.
Oh shit. So the whole time from 9 o'clock on, Lee is just sitting there going, I can never leave. And he's eating parts of the body. I have to stay on this bus forever. And he's just pacing up and down. And they're just sitting there watching him do this the whole time, be like, oh, Badger's on the move again. He's moving to the back of the bus. He's eating that heart like it's like a Tom Horton there. He's going for it.
Fuck sticks moving around again. I hate that they named Badger.
Yeah. Apparently it forever wasn't very long because at 1:30 a.m. Lee attempts to escape Forever from the bus by breaking through the window, and then the Royal Canadian Mounted Police arrest Lee. Soon afterward, he was shot with a taser twice, and I think a canine unit helped take him down as well.
You sound like every divorced angry man.
Apparently Forever wasn't very long.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, I met my pals. I guess he didn't. And fucking whatever.
Fucking bitch. Anyway.
Levity.
Pass the bear nuts.
Okay.
So while they are arresting him, they, like, you know, they pull everything out of his pockets. And in his pockets, he has plastic Ziploc bags containing
body parts.
Yes. Tim's ears, Tim's nose, and Tim's tongue. It's like, oh, well, these are nice. I'm going to save these guys for later in case I need a snack.
Yellow and blue makes green. Didn't want to go bad.
Apparently, he didn't know who Albert Fish was because Albert Fish and Dahmer both said that the cartilage parts are not good.
No.
Well,
you can't cook it enough.
I don't know. Maybe they have different seasoning.
I mean, maybe they're good raw.
It's Chinese. I don't know. Yeah, it could have been better, like sushi, you know? I don't know.
Is it?
So part his eyes, Tim's eyes, and part of his heart was never recovered.
Because they were in his fucking stomach.
In my belly. Yeah. And they are presumed to have been eaten by Lee.
Presumed?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile...
Back at the ranch, all these stranded passengers were transported from the scene to be interviewed. And then later on, they took them to a local store to replace their clothes.
Could you imagine being on that bus? This is my life. Now it's nothing like it was before.
Oh, dude, it's bad. Yeah.
It's nothing like it was before.
Yeah. One of the eyewitnesses stated that there was no rage, no anything. He was like a robot.
He's a hero.
Like a robot.
He thought he was a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the victims ended up losing custody of her kid because of the PTSD. One of the officers on the scene ended up committing suicide because of what he saw.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that fucking graphic. That was that fucked up.
He just thought it was going to be the normal, you know, just give a parking ticket and then be like, okay, here's a warning. And then you run into fucking psychopath guy.
I'm going to kind of wing this next part and just...
Okay. I do that in every episode that I do, buddy.
I know, every time.
You got it.
So, 2008... December 21st, this is 5 months after Timmy dies, his girlfriend, Colleen, gives birth to his son. And then his mom fights for custody.
Should have considered a coat hanger. I'm just...
His mom ends up getting custody of the kid, I think.
That was bad. Nobody even laughed.
It was bad.
There's some sick fucks out there that got a giggle out of that. You're welcome.
So Vincent Lee is arrested with second-degree murder. It was determined, though, that he was not criminally responsible, Matt, for his actions due to his untreated schizophrenia. And
so it's somebody else's.
He's remanded to a high-security mental facility in Manitoba, where he sees treatment until his release in 2015.
That doesn't surprise me at all, coming from Canada. I do not get it.
It's fucked up, isn't it?
After I'd done that Ant Hill Kids episode, I was just like, fuck Canada. What are you doing?
Blame Canada. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. That's the only reason I did this, because I thought you'd get a rise out of that. It's like, yeah. So you can fucking eat somebody on a Greyhound bus and then be like, well, I'm fucking schizophrenic though, and I didn't take my meds.
Oh. But he's good now. Like, he's okay.
Well, if you're good now, then I guess you can just, like, you know, just go. I guess it's okay. I mean,
I did that Rockterio episode. I was so livid. The only thing that made it fun for me was that you were more angry than me because you didn't know.
Yeah.
I had time to get over it, and you didn't know about it.
The one of the funniest things that I thought about this episode was at this time, I think Greyhound had some sort of slogan, like their big promo for like taking the Greyhound was like, no one goes crazy on a Greyhound.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. No one goes postal on a Greyhound, you know, like nothing bad's going to happen. And then after this incident, they immediately had to pull this ad campaign. So that's what I got. That's all I got. I'm done. Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with us again this week. We'll be back next week. Thanks for continuing to like, rate, and review the podcast and all that good shit. And if Matt were here, he'd be like, write a review. Say something nasty. I'm not going to do that.
I do have to say, if you rate on Spotify, you don't have to leave a review. You can just leave the stars.
Okay. There he is. Hey, Matt, we're going to say bye now.
Okay. That was great timing for that just to fucking shit out on me. I was like, what?
It happens. Check your pants. Fucking anyway.
Technology and shit.
That is all for this week, guys. We will see you next week. Until then, I am Zach.
Sparm.
Lindy.
And we will see you next Tuesday.
Later.
Bye.
It's evil. Don't touch it.
It's alive.
I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?
On a Greyhound bus bound from Manitoba, I killed a carny. I turned him into sushi. He tastes like chicken. Yeah, he was finger licking. The cops let me go though. I said, "Domo arigato."